Today's week? Good so far? Last week? This week's new week? Where'd everybody go? Why are you all alone over there?
We're going to take that seat from here and you're going to have to keep moving down.
We're just going to start removing more seats, so you have to sit next to somebody. You guys ready back there? Okay. All right, let's get started. Let's pray for today's message. Lord, we love you. We ask for your wisdom, for your knowledge, Lord. Just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us through this message. And Lord, I pray for Michelle that she is healing. Lord, that just comfort her. Lord, watch over us all throughout this week. We pray for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So, does anybody remember the last few lessons in Matthew? Okay. So, in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, that Jesus has been led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He had no food or drink. In that state, remember, he's still man. But he can still feel the same feelings that we have. He should have been vulnerable at that time to the attack by the devil, yet in his weakness he remained strong. And by no means, when I say weakness, is Jesus weak. He is strong. I mean, you could see everything he lasted through when we would just give up. How many times have we gotten beat down by things in our life that would make us just give up or give in? We get busy to have no time for anything. It just seems we just need a break. And that's what we're thinking, is sometimes we just need a break. When we can't handle it, we just want to give up. But yet, it is more of a refusal to acknowledge that we need help when we want to give up. John 5:40. Jesus says, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." How often in the midst of our busyness, do we stop and ask God for direction and let him lead? He wants us to come to him. In Matthew's a reminder, come to me. He says in Matthew 11, 28, 30 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that Jesus is just asking, he said, "Oh, come to me. Give me your needs. Give me your what you are looking for. I just want to make it easier for you. Don't take everything on your own." Jesus is waiting for us to come to him with our stresses and problems. He is gracious and to us and calls upon him when we are vulnerable or at any time. He will help to silence the devil. Give me a second, I gotta get to this verse. So, we now see the start of Jesus and his ministry and John the Baptist's departure. In Matthew 4, we're going to read from 12 to 17. And just off this side, what Bibles do you guys read out of? Is it New King James, or I don't know if we have a mixture of the NIV? Your NIV? Okay. I just want to make sure if what I'm reading out of, sometimes it's easier just to follow along through that specific Bible, then you don't get lost. So now we see that Jesus is beginning his ministry. John the Baptist is, he's going to be going to prison. We see, now when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From the time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we see that Jesus heard the news of John the Baptist, his imprisonment, and Jesus left Nazareth and went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the Sea of Galilee. We also, if looking this up, that area had about 3 million people in it. It was about 30 by 60 miles. Each one had about 204 tribes, about 15,000 people in each tribe. So about 3 million people, that's a good crowd for Jesus to start his ministry. Jesus went on and continues in that ministry that John the Baptist started. For in John 3:30, it says, he must increase and I must decrease. For John the Baptist knew that it was not about him. It was about how Jesus is the way. Don't you dare. We know that God can do all things and all things for his glory. We know that if God wanted John the Baptist to go with Jesus and continue his journey and go side by side him, he would have had that happen. But like we saw in that verse, he must increase, we must decrease. Or, yes. For when in the ministry, we are to be used as a vessel for the Lord. We may have our direction changed from time to time, and sometimes God keeps us in that direction. But sometimes we have to listen to him. Well, all the times we have to listen to him. We are to always be observant of what God is speaking to us. If it is time to move on to something else God is calling us, we must listen. If we don't listen to him, we are not being a steward. We are being a hindrance instead of helping in his kingdom. I don't know how many times that there's people have stayed in a ministry and it's just, they're doing it for their own good instead of God. We just have to listen to what God has to say. If then we have strayed from what the Lord has called us, we should do what? Does anybody have any ideas of what we should do if we're starting to stray from what the Lord has called us? Well, it said that in Matthew 4:17, we just read it, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He wants us to repent and change our ways. But it is not our kingdom, it is his. We do get to live there. It's going to be a wonderful place. He's preparing an awesome place for us. I mean, look at it. It took him 6 days to create the world we're in. You imagine what heaven's going to be like with all the time that we have been on this earth. In Matthew 4:18-22, we now see Jesus is going by the Sea of Galilee. He's going to meet up with some guys. is, we'll read 18 through 22. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. Mending their nets, he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." So, looking at that, I mean, Jesus calls us to be what? To be fishers of men. He calls us to follow him. We have a sole responsibility, which is to bring others to his kingdom. And how do we do that? We do that in, we do it in love. We do that by the example we set. We do that by speaking his word. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, "Love surrenders long, or love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up." That means it's not all about us. It's about loving others as Christ has loved us. Are we ready personally to, as you saw in the verses, they left their nets in the water. They had just cast their nets in the water and they just left him. Left their nets in the water and followed Jesus. Are we ready to just leave our nets in the water and take and follow Jesus? Drop what you're doing if he calls upon you. In 2 Samuel 22:31, it says, "As far as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." We must trust that God knows the direction we are to go, to follow him without kicking against the goads. And do you guys know what the goads are? Anybody? No. So when the ox are pulling a cart or in the field tilling the field, there's these goads that stick up so they don't kick the person behind it. So we are not to try to kick against the goads because it will hurt us. So we see that Peter and Andrew didn't hesitate. They didn't drag their feet and say, "I'll be there in a sec." No, they just immediately left their nets and they followed him. No questions asked. Then we see James and John with their father mending their nets. The passage says again that they immediately left their boat and their father and followed him. So I don't even know if they said, "Bye, see you, Dad, I'm on my way, I'm out, I'm following this guy." But they just immediately left to follow Jesus. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ has died for the ungodly." We'll look at Matthew 4:23-25. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. When his fame went throughout all Syria, they brought him to all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So we see that Jesus is getting his gathering now. I mean, they're seeing all the great wonders, all the great miracles that Jesus has done, and they're following him. I guess, I mean, what is that, Instagram where people follow you? I'd like to see how many people are on his list now. That would be awesome. So, I mean, we may be a bright light to a dark world. We may our light shine even when we are silent. May we speak with love, and may we be ready to follow him in any circumstances. Have anybody of you this week, have you felt called by God to do anything in his kingdom? And how did you respond to it? Have you guys had Jesus in your thoughts saying, I want you to do something for me? It doesn't even have to be this week, but at any time. No. Well, he will. And when he speaks, just be silent and listen. Don't say, but I got to do this first. Just be silent and say, okay, Lord, you know best. It may be something that you're not comfortable with doing, but Father knows best. So, today is communion. It's the first Sunday of the month. We do take communion. You don't have to be the member of Calvary Chapel. You just have to have God in your heart. And as Nicholas is passing out the elements here, I would just like to have you guys take a moment after you receive this and just pray and just kind of cleanse whatever's going on, anything that you are having going on in your life. Just say, God, no matter what is going on in my life, Lord, I want to follow you. And just take a moment to hear from him. Prepare to take this communion. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We come to you, Lord, because you are our salvation. You are our Savior. Lord, you died upon the cross for us. Lord, we were sinners, but you broke that curse, Lord, by sending your Son for us to die on the cross, to cleanse us from all sin. Lord, with his body that was broken for us, let it may be a representation as we take the bread. Lord, we remember what he went through for us. Let's partake of the bread. And with the blood that was shed for us, to cleanse us from everything, as long as we remember and know that he is Lord and our comforter. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us. May we partake of the blood. Lord, may you speak to us throughout this week and the weeks to come. May you guide the youth and the church that we may become closer to you. Speak to us, Lord. We love you. Thank you for sending your Son to us. In Jesus' name, amen.